You're listening to Lavender Language with your host, me, Adrian Ramirez. On this special episode of Lavender Language, we're catching up with some of our favorite past guests and asking them their top three songs of 2020. And on this episode, we're speaking with Alan Wyfels.
Hello. Hi, Alan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you
doing?
Welcome
back. Oh, I'm doing okay. Welcome back to Lavender Language. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So this episode, I thought it'd be really fun to do like a little recap of some people's, of some guests that I've really enjoyed having on the podcast and talking about a few songs, three songs, which have helped get them through 2020. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay. Well, first, I want to hear about how your year has been because you guys have had quite an intense year, a fun year. Ish.
I mean, it's been strange as it has been for everybody, but I think ours was unique in the sense that we, put out a record this year and we were supposed to be on tour all year and none of that happened. Mm-hmm. The record came out, obviously, but none of the sort of pomp and circumstance around it happened. So that was... It felt weird, you know, because this is the fifth record we put out and, you know, you get used to this whole sort of like momentum that builds and this, it felt weird to do that. And then all of a sudden there's just like, you know, the reviews came in and I was very happy with how it was received. And, but in terms of like not being able to play the shows, that component being missing was really bizarre and disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think considering all that, it's been good. And we moved into a new house, which was like a lifesaver and, to have like a change of scenery and just have more outdoor space. And
right.
And that was really good. And
you guys were also able to perform in kind of different senses because you guys did some recorded live performances. So
yeah.
You guys did your own concert, which was absolutely amazing. I watched that and it was fantastically done. And then you guys performed for Fallon, Jimmy Fallon, and that was in Joshua Tree. And so you guys have been able to like still kind of create these very like visceral experiences as the band and still kind of getting the music and the product out there, but just not in the way that you wanted to. And I wonder how even being able to do that much felt.
That was actually like amazing because we had to rehearse for like a month to prepare for that. And that just felt really like when we started rehearsing, I sort of felt normal. Like, I think a lot of creatives and especially people in the performing arts have felt like really stripped of their identity during this time. Cause it's like, you're forced to like reckon with this idea of like, who am I without this like thing that I do? And especially when it's something that like, you know, touring, you're constantly moving and it's like this, it's in a lot of ways, it enables you to not have to like really process your shit a lot, like, cause you're just constantly moving. Mm-hmm. And so I know a lot of people who tour heavily, like when they are home for too long, they start to go crazy because they're just finally right. having to like kind of sit with all their shit, you know? And so that was a very real thing for us is like, but then when we started rehearsing, it was like, oh yeah, this is like what we do. Like this is, I felt like, I was doing my thing again. And that was really like amazing for the mental health. And then it was just, yeah, it was great to do that performance and to see how people reacted to it too. I think people were really, you know, we did it in a theater, an empty theater. I think it was just people really were craving to see just a band on stage playing music. And obviously there's like an energetic thing that's different when you're watching it over on a screen rather than in person. But I feel like, you know, Mike was able to sort of still like kind of go wild as if there was an audience there, which, you know, was amazing that he could do that. Because a lot of people, I think they struggle, like they can't, without there actually being an audience there, they really struggle to like perform, you know? It feels like a rehearsal.
Yeah.
Huge.
And it had a great response to it. I mean, it really was. It was beautifully, beautifully done. It was really nice to watch.
Thank you.
Alan, let's start with your first song. What have you chosen?
Okay, so all the songs that I chose are artists who I discovered in 2020.
Love that.
So the first one who actually like I have been most recently sort of hung up on is Galore by OK Lou.
Okay.
I was listening to Spotify and to somebody else, and then, you know, if you put on a track and then it ends, it'll switch over to Spotify Radio, and this song came on right afterwards, and it like stopped me dead in my tracks. I'm like, what is this? And so then I like immediately went on like a deep dive, like trying to figure out like, who is this girl? Like, where is she from? Like, what is her story? And she's French. She's a producer. And I could tell immediately that, and I think this is probably part of what drew me to the song, is that I could tell that she had a classical background because the keyboard parts were like very like contrapuntal and like I could tell that she had studied like counterpoint and classical music and stuff like that. And, which I have too. So that spoke to me. And it's like, it's not common that I feel like when you're listening to pop music, cause this is very like, it's pop music that you can identify that so clearly. So I think that is what really spoke to me. And also it's just, I think I described it when I first heard it, it reminded me like of a mashup of like Enya and Billie Eilish with like Bach keyboard arrangements. Because it felt very amazing. Now, like in the way that like a bit like Billie Eilish is like very like now, you know, it has that sound, like it sounds current. I wanna go and learn if you wanna play to a game with no rules. Go and learn where it started, somewhere I can. But, it also had like some like it, I feel like she probably is influenced by like Enya and like, you know, which I think a lot of like people who are into like, you know, ambient leaning music are.
What did it do for you this year? Like how, like what kind of space are you in when you're putting that song on?
I don't think I'm like necessarily like in any particular mood. I think the way that I am with music is I just get obsessed. Like if something speaks to me, I will listen to it on repeat for like 2 weeks. So I don't think it has anything to do with like anything my particular. I think for me, it just, the reason that it spoke to me is it just scratched an itch of something that I like. It felt fresh to me. Like I'm like, this feels like now to me. Yeah, you know.
And when you speak about counterpoint, like hearing that in her playing, is that something that you also do, like in Perfume Genius Music? Is that something you try to kind of bring to it? Is that ever something you're kind of cognizant of doing?
Yeah, I would say so. I think maybe not as like literally as she's done it, but I mean, I've also brought like a lot of like classical influence into like, you know, for instance, the song Jason with like the harpsichord part, and that song is very Baroque. And I think that's kind of like what I bring to the Perfume Genius project is that classical sort of background.
I wonder how dealing with the sort of grief that you and Mike have had to deal with having to like forego the physicality and the kind of like energy sort of exchange between you and the fans and everybody on the road. I wonder how kind of processing, like letting that go this year has, what that's been like for you.
You know, that's a good question. And I don't actually know if I've really, if I have let like processed it or let go of it, really. Like, I feel, I think I've had, I mean, I've had like a few sort of like, and I think everybody has like sort of breaks, like sort of mental breaks. And I think it's just a lot of that was because I didn't really know how to deal with the grief or let go of any of this stuff. And I think, you know, a lot of us are, you know, I think for the first time, like really reckoning with this idea of like of security, like this feeling of security that we took for granted, that was just kind of like the rug was took out from under us. You know what I mean? And it made us feel really scared in a way that we never have before, you know, like just like felt like nothing is really secure, you know? Mm. And that's especially scary when it's like your livelihood. It's like, you know, we don't really, I mean, I have faith that like live music will return, but I mean, it might not look the same as it has historically, you know? So it's scary.
Let's hear your second choice.
Okay. So my second choice is from another artist, a Portuguese artist named Nidia. Mm-hmm. And this song, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Nikcom, N-I-K-C-O-M. And this song is just, she like is like an electronic artist, and she uses a lot of Afro-Portuguese rhythms. Mm-hmm. And I think that is like really, I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. Like, and this song just makes me want to like get up off my seat and dance around my house. And I have done a lot of that to this song, or dancing in my car. This is like the song that I like would play on repeat when I would like drive to the beach, which I did a lot of in quarantine of beach time. She's doing something that seems really fresh to me. Like, and fun fact, she is a barb. And when she first started making music,
a barb, as in like a Nicki Minaj stan.
Yes, when she
first started. Okay, well, I love her already.
When she first started making music, she released it under the name Nidia Minaj.
Oh my god, I love that! I love
because
that
because she's a Nicki stan. But yeah, this is just like fun, like gets me amped and moving and bopping my head in my car, dancing crazy in my car.
It's a good kind of thing to have when you're constantly, I don't know, like sometimes, I mean, I haven't been kind of in quarantine or in lockdown for many months. So, but back when I was and like not leaving my house, I definitely needed something to kind of like get me off my ass and like moving. I personally chose I'm a Slave for You by Britney Spears.
You know, I love that.
I know. Well, listen, that was in a space of Britney. I think a lot of people have been, but I love that for you. Some Afro kind of Portuguese rhythmic influence by Nicki Minaj energy.
Yeah.
I love that. So I want to ask you, what are you most looking forward to in 2021? And I'm like, okay, so obviously we've had a hellfire of a year. And I don't think it's actually been, I think it's interesting because I've spoken to Paul Kindersley and I've spoken to Kate Wallach, and they both have said that actually this year, although chaotic and it's completely changed the course of their careers and their lives, it's actually been an incredible period of growth. And I wonder if you feel the same way, or and then I also wonder, despite kind of the uncertainty of everything that's been happening this past year, what are you most looking forward to in 2021?
I don't know if I would agree, if I would say the same about my experience in 2020. I'm sure I have grown from this experience, undoubtedly, but like I don't really feel like, I don't feel like I share that feeling as much as they do, unfortunately. But I also wouldn't say, though, that 2020 has been even in my top five worst years of my life. And I think that's
fair enough.
I think that says more about my life than anything else. But
that you were prepared.
I mean, I don't guess, but I. It wasn't like it was challenging, and like for the world, it was bleak. But for my personal life, I felt like it wasn't like one of the more devastating years that I've had. Sure. But in 2021, like I feel like anybody else, like I'm just really looking forward to hopefully like getting to see people and be around people, and also returning to like playing shows, you know, like, but most, I mean, you know, I think even more than the shows, I want to see my people, you know?
Like, yeah. Hell yeah. I know. I keep thinking like, I just can't wait to hug people again. And for that not to be like a weird thing. I mean, I'm a very tactile person. So not being able to like physically touch people is like a huge loss for me, and has been. So it's very strange to live in this distance, socially distance space for the past 10 months.
I know, it's crazy. I remember back in, we were supposed to start playing shows in May. And I remember when this all went down in March in the States, and our band was like, do you think that this is going to like affect the dates in May? I was like, oh my God, no way. Like, it'll be totally fine. But then, and here we are, it's like fucking December. We're still in this. It's like worse than ever.
Yeah. It's really bad. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I think that that's something that, I mean, you guys already have a show planned sort of for the fall of next year, right?
We have a full on tour, starting in like late July through like the end of the year.
Oh my God. What's that? Okay. So like, what does that feel like to kind of be like, all right, this is planned?
I mean, it's exciting, but it also feels like a little bit daunting now after not doing, you know, much of anything for almost a year. Like going back into like full tour mode feels like kind of scary, but I think it's one of those things where like, as soon as you start doing it, just like, oh yeah, this thing that I've been doing for 10 years, I can do this, you know?
Yeah. And what about kind of putting faith into the fact that, you know, to it even happening?
I feel pretty optimistic about it. And I figure, like, why not, you know?
Why not? What else are you going to do? Why not feel optimistic about it? I think that's a good thing to be optimistic about. And I think, obviously, you guys have had a really good year as a band. I mean, the album Set My Heart on Fire Immediately has done so well and received so warmly, and I think your fans and probably new fans of yours will be really excited to kind of experience it. 2021.
I'm curious to see like if when it's like we get the green light to do all this stuff, if like Mike was saying, like, do you think it's just going to be like a massive rave for like months, you know, like the whole world is going to be in like a rave? Or do you think that
that's
people
what everyone
are still
keeps
gonna
saying
Or do you think that people are still going to be like really hesitant and sort of like freaked out to be in groups of people, and the idea of being in like a stadium or an arena or something like that is like terrifying to people? I'm sure it'll be a mix of both, but.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Roaring Twenties happened and the Renaissance happened after the plague. And so, you know,
true. Good point.
Listen, Kate chose as one of her top three songs, Some Dream. And her and I are ready to freaking start a hoedown when you guys play that one line. Like, for real. Like, we are ready.
We will.
That's
one of my favorites, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we want to start a line dancing.
Well, I've seen you guys both dance to it.
Yeah, we were actually talking. She was, like, talking about how she wanted to make, like, this really fun, accessible TikTok dance to it, and I was like, that is so insane. She was like, yeah, I absolutely failed in that. Like, it was so hard. And I was like, I attempted to learn it and it was way I was, it was past it. It was way past me. And I just,
well, the one you did was your own though, right?
Yeah. That was that one. I was just scoot and boogie. That was just what I was doing. I was just vibing, you know.
Loved it.
Yeah. Alan, can we hear your third track?
Yes. So this, is kind of in a totally different, coming from a very different place, but there's, I was introduced to this guy named Eric Osborne. And he's like a kind of like a doomy folk musician. And the song is called Long Way From Home. And Angel Olsen is also singing like backup vocals on it, which I didn't know when I first heard it. And then somebody told me afterwards that it was her. And I was like, oh, I got to hear it now. And this song like just does for me like what only music can do. Like it's one of those songs that like every time you hear it, it just sort of makes you like well up and feel like you're going to cry, but not even because it's like the content of the lyrics. It's just the sound of it. It is so beautiful. And it just, yeah, again, like I remember like sitting in an airport and just, which was all, was the first time that I attempted traveling in COVID, which was intense. And I listened to that song when I was waiting in the airport, like over and over and over again. I was just like crying in the airport.
So we're just the same. So why are you bluffing when I know you've got nothing? It's almost enough just to believe in love.
But the whole record is good, and I'm honestly so kind of surprised that he's not more well known than he is.
Right.
But yeah, it's just a beautiful song.
I love that. I was wondering what, if there's kind of one thing that you'd like to leave in 2020. I mean, obviously, I'm not really looking for sort of like resolutions. I'm not really a person who does resolutions, but something that you'd really just would be like, you know what? Thank you. Love that for 2020, but I need to like move on. So what is something do you think that you'd like to just leave in 2020? Or at least try to.
It can be anything, like not specific to like obviously like COVID, but it could be
no my god, yeah, it can be anything. Yeah.
You know, I feel like I've said this other years and I'm still working on it. And this is maybe a little intense and heavy for this, this moment, but
no.
I think, what I've been, would really like to leave behind is this, tendency to unnecessarily apologize for the space that I take up.
All right. Well, I mean, yes, I think that's really amazing. I think that's something you really do need to leave behind. Sure.
Yeah. And I think,
how do you think it's affected you this year? I mean, if anything.
I don't know. I don't really know what more to say about it, honestly. Maybe I shouldn't have opened that can of worms. That's the first thing that came to mind.
I mean, I think it's okay. Listen, I think, if we're going to take it there, I think as queer people, and I think from a very young age, we are told and made to feel wrong and that we should not take up too much space because it's not normal, or we're not normal, or we're not correct. So I think it's just like this thing that kind of sticks with you for your entire life until you actively like work on actually getting rid of it, like this kind of need to like apologize or to like make yourself smaller or I mean, I think that's something that I'm constantly trying to work on as well, is like asking for what I'm worth and not feeling bad for that. And I think it's a practice. So I think, you know, you may be thinking about the same thing this time next year as well, but as long as you're chipping away at it, right?
Absolutely. No, and I think that, yeah, it's definitely not something that you can just, like, you know, wipe your hands of or whatever. It is definitely like a practice, like you said, and it's something that you have to, that is like going to take a lifetime probably to get rid of, you know, or probably like ebb and flows too, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's a really good way of looking at it, is like something that ebbs and flows. Yeah. I mean, I think if anything, I learned many things ebb and flow than maybe I used to give it more than I used to give it credit for.
Right.
Happiness, like a feeling of like happiness or like a feeling of sadness, taking up space and like how to ask for that and how to ask for my worth and how to, like, I don't know, be very clear in my boundaries and how I expect people to treat me and, like, you know. So I think that's a very good thing to have brought up. I'm glad you said that.
Thank you. Leave it to me to get heavy.
Yeah, honestly, this was supposed to be fun. And honestly, Alan, thanks a lot. Just kidding. Well, those are really good song choices. I feel like, I think I've heard a few of them. I think I've listened to a few of them before, because maybe you post them before. I always listen to the songs that you post, just in case. And I think they're going to go really well with the songs that Kate chose and the songs that Paul chose. So yeah, I'm really excited about
it. I'm really interested to see how this all comes together, because I think one person making a playlist is like hard enough, like me making my own playlist. But then when you're like, just, it could be so chaotic, this combo.
This is going to be like, I mean, as far as I know right now, it is like pure chaos, but I think there's beauty in the chaos. And I think that's maybe what I was trying to get with this. It's like, these are five people that I really adore. And, I love the art that they make, and I kind of knew sort of what kind of music Paul might choose, and I kind of had a feeling of what Kate might choose. I didn't know, really. I thought you could have gone one or two ways. You went this way, which makes sense to me, and we'll see what Ricardo and Antonio have, but I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be good. It'll be chaotic, but I'm excited for people to listen to it. It'll just be like a doomsday
playlist. I love chaotic playlists, though. I love to put, yeah, like Miley Cyrus and then like some like really depressing like Bach, like Requiem or something.
Okay, give me, okay, off the cuff, give me one more song that's like, I want like top 40 music, one that just like made you shake your ass this year.
Top 40, I'm trying to think. You know, it was probably one of those Haim songs.
Listen,
I wasn't going to go there, but
I had a feeling you might take us to a place of Haim. I had a feeling.
Because they are just, are so good at making like earworms, you know? And even if you don't want them to, those songs, they like get into your brain and they just like, it's like an infestation.
Yeah, well, you told me about the song FUBT, and I was like, yes. Oh, I didn't listen to that one. And then once I did, I was like, oh, this is actually like a really good song. I'm not a huge fan of theirs, but I listened to that song like a bajillion times, and it was like on my list for like most listened to songs of 2020.
Me
and I was
too.
Like, I didn't see that one coming, but I was happy that it did, because
for me either.
Yeah, but it's a good song. Listen. Those white girls can make some music. I'll give it to them. Well, Alan, thank you so much, my love. It has been such a pleasure to speak with you
nice
once again.
Nice to see your face.
Nice to see yours as well. Yeah. Well, I'll talk to you really soon, okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
I'll talk to you super soon. Okay.
Cheers, Alan.
Bye.
Bye, mate.
Bye.
You've been listening to Lavender Language with your host, me, Adrian Ramirez. Sound engineered by Edmund Shaw and produced by Tawny Kadrez-Freda. Follow and reach out to us on Instagram at Lavender Language and at adrian.ramirez. Like, subscribe, and rate us on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you procure your favorite podcasts. See you next time.